one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 432. It is March 29, 2016. Today, Spurgeon continues with a series of lessons about help based on Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, which we've been slowly going through, stopping only whenever Spurgeon wants to interrupt and say something about it, but we don't call that an interruption, do we? Yesterday we had begun the message about helps from, actually, he gets this from the gifts of the Spirit, one of the gifts of the Spirit, or the one of the personages of the Holy Spirit's presence in a church, is that ministry of helps. John Bunyan, says Spurgeon, whom we shall see to be the master of Christian experience as well as of holy allegory, has, in the passage at the head of this chapter, described a part of the work of these helps, which is most valuable and most required. The man whose name was Help came to Christian when he was floundering in the foul morass of despondency. Just when the poor man was likely to have been choked, having missed his footing in the slough, and when, with all his struggling, he was only sinking deeper and deeper into the mire, there suddenly came to him a person, of whom Bunyan says nothing more than throughout his whole allegory. Here only tells us his name. But a person who put out his hand, and speaking some words of encouragement to him, pulled him out of the mire, set him on the king's highway, and then went about his business. A man unknown to fame on earth, but enrolled in the annals of the skies as wise to win souls. There are periods in the divine life when the help of judicious Christian brethren is invaluable. Most of us who are now rejoicing in a well-assured hope have known quite as much as we wish to know about that awful slough of despond. I myself floundered in it for 5 years or thereabouts, and am therefore well acquainted with its terrible geography. In some places it is deeper than in others and more nauseous, such as the spot where David was when he cried, "I sink in deep mire where there is no standing." But believe me, a man may reckon himself thrice happy when he gets out of it. For even at its best, when he is fairly in it, it threatens to swallow him up alive. Dear, very dear to us, must ever be the hand that helped us out of a horrible pit. And while we ascribe all the glory to the God of grace, we cannot but love most affectionately the instrument whom he sent to be the means of our deliverance. On the summit of some of the Swiss passes, the canton for the preservation and accommodation of travelers maintains a small body of men who live in a little house on the mountain, and whose business it is to help travelers on their way. It was very pleasant when we were toiling up the steep ascent of the Col d'Obbia in northern Italy to see, some 3 or 4 miles from the top, a man coming down who saluted us as though he had known us for years and had been awaiting our arrival. He carried a spade in his hand. Though we did not know what was ahead of us, he evidently knew all about it, and was forearmed and prepared for every emergency. By and by, we came to deep snow, and our kind pioneer immediately went to work with his spade to clear a footway, along which he carried the weaker ones of the party upon his back. It was his business to care for travelers, and ere long he was joined by another, who brought with him refreshments for the weary ones. These men were helps, who spent their lives on that part of the road where it was known that their services would frequently be in requisition. They would have been worth little in the plains. Their attentions might even have been considered intrusive had they met us in any other place, but they were exceedingly valuable because they presented themselves just where they were required, having, as it were, waylaid us with kindness. Helps are of little use to a man when he can help himself. But when he is hopelessly slipping amid the slime of the slough of despond, then a man of affectionate heart becomes more precious than the gold of Ophir. The men of this brigade of helps, if I understand Bunyan aright, are stationed all around the borders of the great dismal swamp of despond, and it is their business to keep watch and listen along the brink of the slough for the cries of any poor benighted travelers who may be staggering in the mire. Just as the Royal Humane Society keeps its men along the borders of the lakes, in the parks, in winter time, and when the ice is forming, bids them to be on the watch and take care of any who may venture upon it, so a little knot of Christian people, both men and women, should always be ready in every church to listen for cries of distress and to watch for broken hearts and cast down spirits. Such are the helps whom we need, and such perhaps were the ancient helps mentioned by Paul. It may be well to give a few directions to these helps as to how they may assist seeking sinners out of the slough of despond. From my own pastoral experience, I'm led to recommend a careful imitation of the man whose name was Help, as he is described by Bunyan. So first, when you meet with one who is despairing, get him to state his own case. When Help assisted Christian, he did not at once put out his hand to him, but he asked him what he did there and why he did not look for the steps. It does men much good to make them unveil their spiritual griefs to their comforters. Confession to a priest is an abomination, but the communication of our spiritual difficulties to a fellow Christian will often be a sweet relief and a helpful exercise. You who seek to aid the awakened will be wise, like the angels at the tomb, to inquire of the weeping Mary, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Their answers will direct the helper's line of action and assist in the application of the necessary consolation. The patient who understands the malady will the more cheerfully yield to the treatment of a wise physician. I have occasionally found that the mere act of stating a difficulty has been the means of at once removing it. And some of the most distressing doubts, like hideous screech owls, will not bear the light of day. There are many spiritual difficulties which, if a man did but look them fully and fairly in the face long enough to be able to describe them, would vanish during the investigation. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Is our Lord's way of setting reason in battle array against unbelief. Let the mourner state his case by all means, and do you patiently listen to it. Get that young man alone, dear brother. Ask him to sit down quietly with you, and then inquire of him, "What is the point that puzzles you? What cannot you understand? What is it that makes you so dejected and dispirited?" Wisely did good Help induce Christian to unbosom his griefs. Do thou likewise. Next to this, enter as much as lieth in you into the case before you. Help came to the brink of the slough and stooped down to his poor friend. And this may seem to you perhaps as unimportant direction, but depend upon it, you'll be able to give very little help, if any, if you do not follow it. Sympathy is the mainspring of our ability to comfort others. If you cannot enter into a soul's distress, you'll be no son of consolation to that soul. And so, seek to bring yourselves down to weep with them that weep, that you may uplift them to the platform of your joy. Do not sneer at a difficulty because it seems small to you. Recollect that it may be very great to the person who is troubled by it. Do not begin to scold and tell the anxious inquirer that he ought not to feel as he does feel, or to be distressed as he is. As God puts his everlasting arms underneath us when we are weak, so you must put the outstretched arms of your sympathy underneath your younger and weaker brethren, that you may lift them up. If you see a brother in the mire, put your arms right down into the mud, that by the grace of God you may lift him bodily out of it. Recollect that you were once just where that desponding sister of yours is now, and try, if you can, to bring back your own feelings when you were in her condition. It may be, as you say, that the stripling of the damsel is very foolish. Yes, but you were yourself foolish once. And then you abhorred all manner of meat, and your soul drew near to the gates of death. You must, to use Paul's language, become a fool for their sakes. You must put yourselves into the condition of these simple-minded ones. If you cannot do this, you need training to teach you how to be a help, as yet you do not know the way. Your next step may be to comfort these poor brethren with the promises of God. Help asked Christian why he did not look for the steps. For there were good and substantial stepping stones placed through the very midst of the slough. But Christian said he had missed them through excessive fear. We should point sinking souls to the many precious promises of God's word. Brethren, mind that you are yourselves well acquainted with the consoling declarations of Scripture. Have them on the tip of your tongue, ready for use at any time that they are required. I've heard of a certain scholar who used to carry miniature copies of the classic authors about with him, so that he seemed to have almost a library in his pocket. Oh, that you would carry miniature Bibles about with you, or better still, that you had the whole Word of God hidden in your heart, so that, like your Lord, you should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. A word spoken in due season, how good is it? Whenever you come across a distressed soul, what a blessed thing it is for you to be able to say to him, yes, you're a sinner, it is true, but Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Possibly he will tell you that he cannot do anything. But you may answer that he is not told to do anything. For it is written, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He will, perhaps, reply that he cannot believe. But you can remind him of the promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Some texts in the Bible are like those constellations in the heavens, which are so conspicuous that when the mariners once see them, they know in what direction they're steering. Certain brilliant passages of Scripture appear to be set in the firmament of revelation as guiding stars to bewildered souls. Point to these. Quote them often. Rivet the sinner's eyes upon them. Thus shall you aid him most efficiently. If a despairing soul should read these pages, or listen to what I am saying now, let me quote to him these exceeding great and precious promises of our gracious God. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Or, he retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. And, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. These three texts are specimens of the steps which the Lord of the way has caused to be placed where they can be best assisting sinking sinners. We'll continue with those helps tomorrow, those helps for the helper tomorrow. What to do with someone when you're trying to help them. Isn't this helpful to you? I hope so. Well, thank you for joining with me again today. I would like you to go on this website that you're on, sermonaudio.com, to check for some of the things that I've written in the past. There's a long series here on North Korea. North Korea, my days that I spent intensely studying and praying for and writing about North Korea several years back. And don't forget to click on photos while you're checking out Korea. Click on the word photos at the top of the page, and then click on that first album that you see, and the second one is good too. There's over 120, 130 pictures where I've been updating the situation in North Korea by like a picture essay down through the days and weeks. I hope that you will go there so that you'll be informed as to how to pray for North Korea, for I know that's what you want to do as the situation worsens over there, as many parts of the world. Again, thank you for being with me today. Remember Galatians 6:2, where we began. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.